Welcome to Securing the Spark, the official podcast of the CyberForce program, led by the Department of Energy's Office of Cybersecurity, Energy Security, and Emergency Response, where we discuss cybersecurity, workforce development, and how the next generation is securing our nation's energy. I'm your host, Steph, and with me are my co-hosts, Amanda and Eddie. In today's episode, we're diving into what it really feels like to participate in the Department of Energy's CyberForce competition. If you've never heard of the CyberForce competition, here's the quick rundown. An attack defense style competition where college teams step into the role of cybersecurity professionals, defending simulated energy infrastructure from red team cyber attackers. It's designed to give students a taste of what it's like to work in cybersecurity within the energy sector, where technical expertise is crucial, but teamwork and communication are just as important. Today, we're talking to two incredible competitors from the 2024 CyberForce competition. Caitlin, a multi-year competitor and competition winner from the University of Central Florida, and Vivian, a first-time competitor and the team captain from the College of Coastal Georgia. They'll discuss their competition preparation, key takeaways, and advice for future participants. Whether you're considering competing or simply curious about how competitors gear up to defend their energy systems from cyber threats, this episode is for you.
So let's spark the conversation and jump right in. Thank you both for being with us today. So Caitlin, I'll start with you. So do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself? How did you learn about the competition the first time? And what made you decide to join your team?
So basically at UCF, we have what we call the C-Free team, which is basically the people who do the competitive cybersecurity competitions, the ones that are travel competitions or higher profile competitions. So I had made my way onto that team in like late 2020/early 2021. And our advisor who manages the team was basically trying to build a team of people who had, none of us had ever done CyberForce before. The talent from that had already graduated. So he was like, hey, Caitlin, you're going to be on this team. You're going to do this. This is how UCF functions. You get voluntold. But yeah, it was fun. And I'm very glad that I was voluntold.
Was it a little nerve-wracking that first time being voluntold, or had you already had some experiences competing?
I had had like a couple of experiences competing. CyberForce was definitely like the biggest competition I'd been involved in, but I don't think any of us really understood how big CyberForce was until afterwards, because, you know, this was 2021. It was COVID year part two, so we were all online. So it wasn't really until after that we realized how big of a deal it was.
Vivian, tell us a little bit about yourself, and how did your journey get into first participating with CyberForce and joining College of Coastal Georgia?
I had started going to CCGA, the College of Coastal Georgia, while I was in high school as a dual enrollment student, but I didn't actually get into the cyber program until about a semester after my first semester in college. At that point, it was just like, I'm kind of interested in cyber. I'm going to see what this doc guy is all about. And then he had me sit in on a class. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting. So I decided to take a few classes. And that was kind of like my introduction to CyberForce as well, because they had just had a team come back from Chicago who were competing. And I was just like newly introduced to this cyber program. And Doc was showing these pictures of the competition room with, you know, like 100 competitors in the same room. And he was like, if you guys continue in this program, this could be you. You could be doing this competition. Wow, I don't know if I'm ever going to do that, but that would be really cool. So that was my first how I heard about CyberForce. And then it all started last semester at the beginning of August. The first day of class, I was also in a very similar situation as Caitlin, where Doc was like, by the way, Your guys's team captain is going to be Vivian. And then after class, he was like, "You already knew what I was going to say, didn't you, Vivian?" And I was like, "No, I had no idea." But I had been a team captain a few other times for different competitions before. So that's where, like, it was still flexing my leadership skills, I guess. But I also had to piggyback on what Caitlin was saying, I had no idea, like, exactly how big of a thing, even just seeing the pictures of Cyberforce, until I was actually there and doing it. It was really an awesome opportunity to be able to do that competition.
I'll reach out to Doc and let him know. Hey man, give him a heads up next time.
Well, he will say that he had all of the confidence in me, and he really did. Sometimes even more confidence in me than I had in myself, to be honest.
That's a good instructor right there. Just to give a little background for our listeners who don't know about the competition. The competing college teams, they actually receive their energy systems about 2 weeks ahead of time. During that time, they can harden the systems, they can secure them based on the rules provided, but they also have the ability to work on their soft skills with pre-tasks that they have due to the competition. So I'd kind of like to pivot over to, and I'll start with you, Vivian, being kind of thrown in as a team captain for the first time. We'd love to hear a little bit about how did your team prepare? How did you prepare your team for this competition, especially knowing that you had competed before, you had led before, but this was your first time now being the team captain for a competition you'd never seen before?
So what I primarily did was I leaned a lot on Doc, and I also leaned a lot on one of our team members who had done this Cyberforce competition before. So I used that experience that my mentors had, and I used that to guide how I was leading my team. So back in August, when I first heard that I was going to be captaining this competition, we were trying to figure out who was going to be on the team. And a lot of the team members that I had were team members that I've led before. So we already created those, like, strong team bonds, which is, I think, a very pivotal process in figuring out how a team is going to function well, is if you guys have good team chemistry. So that was something we kept in mind in the competition process. And then after we figured out who the team was comprised of, we would meet either once a week or twice a week, even if there wasn't any new information, just so that we could review the material and also talk about different things that we will likely be seeing in the competition, trying to get to know each other. As new information came out, like the C-suite video, we would be working on those different tasks as a team. So we were getting together at least once a week for the months prior to the competition in November.
Wow. Okay. Caitlin, how about, having have several championships under your belt now, how has your team evolved over the years from when you first started to now competing last year? Talk a little bit about just the progression of your team and how do you guys prepare to compete?
Okay. So thus far, we've been very lucky to keep four members of the team on our winning team for the whole route. So those four of us already know each other really, really well. We know the competition really well. So we don't particularly do a whole lot of preparation in advance of, like, the video prompts dropping and the infrastructure dropping. But once that drops, it's very much a, we all have to plow all of our spare time into doing this and doing it well and doing it right. Because if not, we're all going to get really mad at each other. So, yeah, we have, the Google Docs and the Google Slides and the Discord chats and all that. It's sort of the given that, like, oh, Caitlin's going to work on the slides and our Windows guy is going to work on our Windows stuff, et cetera, and so forth.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to how people prep.
Yeah, one point that's really interesting that you brought up, Caitlin, is that having competed already together for so many years, you all know everyone's skill set. You have your Windows guy, you do your, I mean, Vivian, was that different for your team? Did you split the team? Being the captain, did you go based on people's skill set, like what they wanted to work on? Like how did you structure your team as well?
I for sure took into account everybody's skill set, but I also didn't want to be a really rigid team leader either. I didn't want to force anybody to work on anything that they didn't want to work on, even if they did have a really high skill in that area. That leads to a lot of team tension, and it doesn't necessarily lead to good output of production. So I took like a mental inventory when we were all getting together of like whose skill set is in what area. And then I would also check in with people and be like, hey, I know you're good at this. Is this something that you wanted to do? If not, that's fine. And then we also had a few people who were like, I have never done this Windows stuff before, but I would be really interested in learning.
I mean, and Caitlin, I really wanted to ask you. So, what did you do to prepare since you guys kind of work separately from each other a bit? Is there anything that you've done different throughout the years to prepare yourself, even if it's just mentally knowing what's coming for the competition?
I think we've gotten better at emphasizing that everybody needs to document what they're doing, especially for, the document that you have to hand in. People've got to put the vulnerabilities in because we have had years where somebody's been like, oh yeah, I found all these things, and then they didn't put it in the document. And it's like, you're brilliant, but you got to do this thing. Come on. Usually, since I do a lot of like the anomalies, I'll like pull out like the file of last year's anomalies and have like another look at them before the actual go day.
From the administrative side, from like, the competition standpoint, I know I, being, the head from the national lab point of view, really do like to emphasize to the competitors, which I know is hard sometimes for competitors to like accept when I do say that it's not always about where you place in the competition, but it's about what you learn, or and it's not always necessarily about the technical skills at the end of the day. So can you, and I'll start with you, Caitlin, like, can you share with us a lesson that you've taken away from the Cyberforce competition?
Yeah, I would say that a big lesson is time management, because Cyberforce, you have so many things that you have to do, and at the start of like your 2 or 3 or whatever week window it is on the given year, it can feel like you have a lot of time, but you really don't. You're going to be sad if you end up leaving points on the table because you just didn't get it together in time. So yeah, you gotta be on the ball. Get those videos filmed.
I guess a lesson that I've learned from this competition, and I'm going to try to go at it from both a regular competitor standpoint, this being my first time ever doing Cyberforce, and from a leader standpoint as well. As a competitor, I learned a lot more about how cyber actually works in the real world. It helped me actually like grasp what is done when they talk about like cyber used to defend critical infrastructure. This was a really good simulation to me to be like, wow, this is a real thing. Even though we weren't actually doing the real thing, it was as close as you can get without actually being in that career path. So that was an eye-opener. I really enjoyed that part. And then as a leader, I learned this was my first ever like major competition to lead a team in. So that developed my leadership skills a lot. I learned just how to like talk to my teammates and how to manage a team and how to actually like kind of set the bar for the team because how I normally try to be a team leader is I'm like, hey, can you do this? Like, when you can. And so for this competition, with there being like rigid time constraints, I think Caitlin kind of touched on this as well. With there being rigid time constraints, I had to also be like, hey, I need you to prioritize this. So it kind of taught me how to be more of a active leader.
No, those are both really great lessons to take away. People should look away and walk away with the positives, even if it's simply like we did better than we did the year prior, or we didn't do so hot in our red team scoring and our goal was to improve that or improve our communication because that's where we, it's our Achilles heel. If you did that, like you're learning something and as a team you're growing, those are always what we try to get as the takeaway. At the end of the day, we want everyone to walk away with a skill that ideally then when you walk into a room that you're interviewing for, you can talk about something and you can explain with like a light in your face what you did on that competition day and what you did is a lesson of 2024 to 2025 or 2023 to 2024. Or even if it was just 1 year, like this is what I did as a captain, and here's how I did it.
One thing that I've been really wanted to ask while you guys were kind of talking is you've now had experience, you've participated, you've felt it, you've lived it. Caitlin, you've lived it a lot now. So really for the audience and thinking about yourself as a first when it was your first time, like if you were to give yourself looking back a piece of advice for that first time, like if you were going to travel back in time and give yourself a piece of advice, what would you tell yourself before that first time, that pep talk, like, hey, you're getting ready to go into this, what would be that piece of advice?
The biggest piece of advice I probably would need to hear from myself, at least, is to have the confidence that everybody else has in you. That was kind of something that I had a lot of self-doubt, as a leader. Like, why was I chosen to be the leader? I kind of had doubts because I wasn't as cybersecurity knowledgeable as some of the other people on the team. So I had a lot of self-doubt, but at the end of the day, it was like Doc chose you for a reason. And you have all of these other people who are like working with you and have you as their team leader because they trust you to do what you need to do. So what I would give to myself is to have more confidence. And that's something similar that I would give to other people as well, is even if you're not the most technically knowledgeable person in the group, that doesn't devalue you from being in this competition. I think in some points, it gives you more value to the group because it does give you another perspective on things. So as a team leader, I had a bigger overarching perspective of the goals that we needed to meet, who's working together and how are they working together, the time management skills, the ability to like pivot somebody from one subject or one topic to another during the competition, where it needs to go. So those were the skills that I brought into the team. And so I would say to other people, like, even if you don't have the type A in a box set of skills, you have other skills that the team will need. Even if you're not a leader, even if you're not technically savvy, you could come at it from a business standpoint and have the ability to help in the C-suite panel video. So there's lots of other things that can help contribute to this competition and to a team in any competition as well.
Vivian made some great points. The imposter syndrome is real. There is still a part of my brain that is like, what if I'm only here due to an absurd sequence of dumb luck?
Real. Yes.
Yeah, and I would also just say, like, on a more practical level, make sure that all of your like school and life commitments, try to get that done in advance. You want to be able to do Cyberforce as hard as you possibly can and get as much as you possibly can out of the experience. Because, if you're distracted, then you're getting less time to do Cyberforce. Cyberforce is fun.
I would like to talk about that as well. Like you brought up a really good point, which is like prioritizing your schoolwork in advance so that you can prioritize Cyberforce or other competitions. That's something that I would give as advice to other people as well, because that helped me a lot last semester. Time management is really a really good one. Thank you, Caitlin, for your.
Vivian, in our previous conversation, you had brought up an internship that you had had the opportunity of being involved in. Can you kind of share a little bit more about that experience?
Yes, I can. So when we had last spoken, I was talking about the possibility of an internship, maybe with the Southeast Georgia Health System, which is here in Brunswick, Georgia. When I was doing my interview for that internship, so when doing that interview with the Southeast Georgia Health System, they had actually read Doc's piece about how our team did in the Cyberforce competition and how we did compared to other schools in the state of Georgia. And they were really impressed. And then learning that I was the team captain for that competition, they were really interested to know more about the competition and the skills that I gained because of the competition. I had talked about how I have Active Directory skills, which is what the internship entails, and then some other cybersecurity skills that I had gained because of this competition and other competitions in the past. And so they were really impressed because they have heard about the Department of Energy's Cyberforce competition.
I'm glad that's one of the things that we're always, promoting as part of the competition for students is to use the competition as that bridge gap. When you're in college, it's very difficult to get like work experience. So like use the competition and everything you're exposed to as not like you said, not just a confidence booster in yourself and your abilities, but it's that experience work gap to help you start that journey of really getting that into the workforce. Caitlin, do you have anything you want to add?
So I just wanted to say that Cyberforce, in addition to being, a great studying and learning experience, is also really fun. You get to mingle with a whole lot of students from all around the country where we have typically been meeting at the Q Center. It's really nice. I would say that the food is quite good. It's got like a lot of like sports facilities, and you can get bikes and you can ride around. St. Charles is really pretty. And like for my team, we're from Florida, so we're always like, oh my gosh, there's seasons here. It's actually fall. So yeah, it's a fun experience.
Yes. I know that my team had a really amazing experience being able to go up to Chicago because of this competition. For quite a few members this year and quite a few members in the past from our other CCGA competitions to Cyberforce. This was quite a few of these people's first time ever even going on a plane. Sometimes it's their first time even leaving the state. That was a really great opportunity as like a team building, team bonding thing. Like, wow, we all get to experience this together. And it definitely is like a really good way to meet other people in the competition as well, and networking opportunities. And we went to Chicago like a few days in advance prior to the competition so that we would be able to look at the sights and see all that Chicago has to offer. So this was just a really amazing, fun opportunity that has benefits for both like personal experiences and educational building and personal skills as well.
Well, that's great to hear in general, from, the team bonding to personal to, even, hearing that it's some people's first plane ride is coming to, whether it's Cyberforce, but also to the city of Chicago, that you get to see a lot of, the architecture, the history behind it, and that you guys took some time potentially to even go to the city. It's great to hear. Well, thank you both so much for chatting with us today. I think it was honestly a really great and wholesome conversation. So Steph and Eddie, I want us to go over some of the key points that they talked about today, just so we can highlight them for people who maybe didn't get a chance to hear everything. So what I took away from the four-time champion, Caitlin, from University of Central Florida, is that imposter syndrome is still real for her. She feels like she gets a lot of spurts of luck, even coming to Cyberforce. And I can't say enough how imposter syndrome is still so real in even my life today.
Which is funny. You're a four-time champion, and you're still thinking that it's luck. But no,
Right?
but
Like, I just think
it's
it's
true.
crazy that,
But it's true.
someone who, and she even mentioned she still has like four of the six people on the team. And, she's walking in like, this is probably is luck this year. And it's, but yet when you talk to her, they have such a strategy behind, how they do the pre, like, competition stuff, what they do during the day. Everyone has a role, and yet how in our brains, that's just luck, and not realizing like that is exactly what you're supposed to do.
It almost ties back into their comments of, their lack of self-confidence. Like, we almost feel inadequate from us, like internal pressures we place on ourselves. And even as Caitlin and Vivian both said, how, they wish they had the confidence that their mentors had in them.
That really like ties in what you were just saying with my favorite point, which was brought up by Vivian. And when she mentioned that being in Cyberforce and not having like a technical degree, like being in public management with the emphasis in criminal justice, even though the emphasis were in cyber, but she mentioned that a lot of her classes were on public management. But what I found so unique is that it gave her such a different perspective, and she didn't allow it to devalue her for the competition, which is, I found that to be such a strong point, because not everyone who competes is going to have a background in cyber. Not everyone's going to have a PhD in cybersecurity. So I found that to be kind of a really resonating point. Like,
It's just like the real world. We talk about this as a stepping stone into, experience. And even us as a team, we have, such a well-rounded team with such diverse backgrounds and different backgrounds. And, we get to learn, technical aspects from our teammates that, and maybe we could teach them something, in the public management space. So it's kind of a, you learn something, I learn something from you. And, we don't have to limit ourselves in that aspect.
and I think at the end of the day, what's great about it, without even really fully knowing what she does with her degree, is that we do tend to tell schools that teams for Cyberforce that are well-rounded, and we leave that kind of blank. But because we know that the full rule set and all the tasks really can't be done by one person with only one set of skills, that, when you have to speak to, the C-suite, when you have to do security documentation, then when you have to harden a system, and not just your business system, but an operational technology system, those are all very different skill sets. So someone who's very technical might not feel comfortable speaking, but someone who's speaking might not be the most technical to be hardening the email system that you need for your business or your industrial control system. So in thinking about a well-rounded team, it does take into account that you might not have everyone on the team that's entirely having a technical degree.
Both Caitlin and Vivian said how one of the most important things is to get the most out of your experience at the Cyberforce competition. So, it's something unique that you get to, build camaraderie with your team members traveling to Chicago as a team, for some being the first time out of state, for some first time in Chicago, but getting the most out of the experience while they're here and even leading up to it. For them, they highlighted how their mentors helped in guiding them and their teams and ensuring that they took, you know, time management as a key aspect leading up to the competition and the day of the competition to ensure that they weren't overloading, you know, with their schoolwork and, you know, their family, you know, home life, that they were well prepared coming into it to get the most out of it while they were here. They get to be in the one room with, you know, all these competitors from all these different schools, hundreds of students like-minded who are all looking to get the same experience. So it's kind of neat that someone with Caitlin's background and someone with Vivian's background kind of cross paths that same weekend at one point in time in the year. It's just kind of neat to see that unfold over the years.
I don't know, when I think back to my college, I didn't get to go to conferences or meet people from West Coast, East Coast, you know, all the way up, you know, to the North and South. So when I think about today and the fact that all these students from all over the United States come to one central location, and again, whether they get first place, don't place, whatever, for 2 days, you get to hang out with 600 other people. I think that's so cool. It's 2 days. And I know that's, oh, that's, but that's two people that, you know, you may have never met before that you could have just made a friend for life that you get to talk to for who knows how much longer, you know, and, or you made a contact for maybe you really wanted to go to a university on the West Coast that now you just made a contact with that now you can potentially lean on for, hey, do you know where I can move to, where I could live? And, those are the things that you just don't realize you get to do when you meet people here.
Well, as we wrap up the first episode of Securing the Spark, a huge thank you to Caitlin and Vivi again for joining us and sharing their incredible experiences and insights as collegiate participants. Their perspectives will be invaluable to future listeners and will no doubt inspire the next generation of competitors. For those tuning in, if this episode has sparked your interest in participating or supporting the CyberForce program, visit cyberforce.energy.gov to learn more. Until next time.